I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is Dukes and Bell coming up. Falcon Report as we continue to talk about the draft. What should we do in rounds two and three today? And here to help us with that and giving his take and opinions is none other than the analyst for our Atlanta Falcons. His name's Dave Archer. Arch, great job last night with you and Wes and Mike Conte on bringing our listeners the best coverage locally anywhere. And I don't know about you, but describe your feelings when you heard the name, because the position made sense. But I think that's probably what a lot of people struggled with, was this isn't the guy that most people had been talking about. It was Okuda. It was Henderson. And then we hear A.J. Terrell and everybody goes, huh?
Yeah, and good to be on with you guys, Mike and Carl. And I didn't, you know, I've never been on one of the more popular cooking shows in the country, so this is going to be a lot of fun for me.
Arch. First things, Arch, we'll take a page out of Dean Martin's playbook. What are you sipping on right now?
I actually have broken out the grapes a little bit, Mike. I've got a fine Chianti going right now. I'm going to do a little Cabernet here in a little bit. I'm a little bit more refined in our social distancing. We normally are drinking beer, right?
I've got an Elijah Craig small batch. Real quick, Carl, what do you got?
Tonight?
No, right now.
Oh, well, I haven't gotten there yet. I've got
an Aristocrat.
I haven't opened yet.
Okay, never mind. Back to you, Arch.
Well, Mike, it's good to know a lot of things don't change. It's good to be able to hang your hat on something. I'm pleased to know that you're into it already on a Friday afternoon. But, hey, this is a good player, guys. When you see the two corners come off the board, there was some suggestion that maybe C.J. Henderson was the target. I think there was some discussion, and I don't know this. This is me speculating. I think there was some discussion to try to get up to potentially get to C.J. Henderson. But certainly when he got to Jacksonville, he wasn't going anywhere. Jacksonville wanted a corner, needed a corner. They were going to take the Florida product. When you look at C.J. Henderson, you look at A.J. Terrell, and you took the uniforms away and you put just a generic uniform on him, they look like the same guy. They're 6'1", about 200 pounds. Both are right at 4'4", flat in a 40. Both have about a 36-inch vert. These are guys that mirror one another. They can corner blitz. The thing that I like about Terrell that's different than C.J. Henderson is his ability to play multiple spots on the field. And I'm not talking about multiple positions. I'm talking about multiple areas in the corner position. You look at Brent Venables and what he did at corner. There's corner blitz. There's catch technique where you got a safety helping out. So you're going to look like you're going to back off, and all of a sudden you catch and you sit it down in that 5-6 yard area where you're rolled up. You're press bail. You're press man to man. You're off playing the cover three look. He did all of that at Clemson. And so that to me is a seamless transition to what he's going to be asked to do here with the Atlanta Falcons and do the stuff that they want to do at the corner spot. So that's what I love about the pick. And I think you could split hairs between he and C.J. Henderson as to who might have been that number two corner on the board.
And that's the thing, Arch. I think some people looked at Christian Fulton. There was Trevon Diggs. I mean, that to me, it was almost like once you got past Henderson, you could flip a coin between all three. You know, and Auburn, I'm not even trying to pronounce Igbenin, and I would screw his name up. But there was a bunch of guys that were kind of like almost like a second tier, kind of like how the pass rushers are after Chase Young. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think so. I think that Fulton was probably the guy that might have been the swing guy that might have been kind of, you know, maybe in that first group or maybe in that second group. But these three guys were clearly, Okuda, Henderson, Terrell were clearly the top three corners. And you realize that, okay, there's some conversation about, well, you could have traded back and got Terrell. Okay, well, first of all, trading back, you've got to have somebody that wants to trade up. It's not like you just throw your hands in here and say, hey, guys, I want to trade back. You got to have someone that wants somebody in the 16 spot. You can't just automatically say, hey, I'd like to move back to 23 or 22. Hey, Minnesota, do you want to come up to 16? That's not the way it works. You got to have somebody call you that's coveting a player that wants to come up in that spot. Then you can work out some kind of deal to move back. And there's no guarantees Terrell would have even been there. Three corners came off the board after Terrell was drafted. So to think that A.J. Terrell would have still been available at 22, 23, 24 is probably ludicrous. So you got a kid that fits your scheme, that checks a box off, and now you've got one of your needs taken care of. Now you can press forward to look at some other stuff.
It's Dave Archer, analyst for our Atlanta Falcons. I know you probably didn't do this because you were on the air. I screamed on my porch when the 49ers took Kinlaw. And I called him a couple of names that I can't repeat here. Because I'll be honest with you, I was like, are you kidding me, Arch? Are you serious right now?
Carl is right next to you. I was right with you. I know I wasn't because we're social distancing, but I was emotionally right next to you. Kinlaw falling. He was my number one guy. Now, I picked on AtlantaFalcons.com. I went ahead and did the fool's path or fool's errand to go pick the six picks Atlanta will take, and you guys can check those out and use them if you want to. They're kind of pie in the sky. But I picked either C.J. Henderson or A.J. Terrell. Whichever corner was standing, that's who I said Atlanta would take with the 16th pick. My wish pick underneath that, Javon Kinlaw. I think Kinlaw, as he began to float back, I think all of us kind of started, the hair kind of started to stand up on your back a little bit. You started to get a little goosebumps. You go, wait a minute, 6'5", 325 is going to fall in her lap at 16? And you thought, and then I didn't think the 49ers have like 12 number one draft picks on the front line. Why do they need another guy? So that, I was completely baffled by that the 49ers took him. It's a great pick. He was the best player on the board probably at that time. But, yeah, I was with you, Carl. I was right there with the whole emotions of, hey, Kinlaw's going to fall right in her lap.
And that's the thing, guys. We've talked about it, because the listeners want pass rush. Pass rush is what we talked about with Tony Dungy earlier in the week. We know we've got to get the quarterback on the ground. But corner was always going to be a need for this team. But we still got to get a DT. I know there's a lot of depth. Dan Quinn told us a lot of depth. As Dave Archer joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, who is the defensive tackle, which maybe we move up for in the second round, or who do you want now?
You know, Mike, it's a pretty deep group when you look at it. Neville Gallimore is a guy I'm really excited about, but is Neville Gallimore actually the complement to Grady Jarrett? So therein lies a bit of the crux with this thing. You've got to find a guy that's going to complement Grady, because you don't want Grady lining up as the shade on the nose all day long. He's a penetrating three technique. That's where he plays his best football. So you've got to be able to have a guy that can fluctuate back and forth and play the shade of the nose and also slide out and play the three between the guard and the tackle. So Neville Gallimore is a guy that ran 4.79 at the 40. He's a penetrating three-technique defensive tackle. He has some of the same traits that, like, a Geno Atkins has. He's a penetrator, get in the backfield. He just didn't finish very well. Who does that remind you of? Grady Jarrett, a guy that couldn't finish until over the last couple seasons began to finish and get guys on the ground. Matabike is a guy that's there out of Texas A&M. Jordan Elliott is a kid I like out of Missouri. I like Ross Blacklock out of TCU. Marlon Davidson is an interesting guy, because he played inside early in his career at Auburn, shifted outside last year, played the edge in Auburn's defense last year, so he's got some flexibility and some things he can do. So, again, it's a pretty nice class of players. Plus, you had some edge guys get pushed into the second round. You know, Yetur Grass-Ghost-Mattis from Penn State got shoved back. A.J. Espenza got shoved back. So those guys are still on the board as well.
It's Dave Archer joining us. If we go not defense, is there any way we go running back? Because there are guys who are hitting us up, Arch, who are saying, listen, Swift, and you talk about Cam Akers and all these running backs that are going to be there in the second round and then into the early third. Is there any way we do that?
I can't see that happening, Mike. I mean, obviously, you never say never, because if you look at your board and all the guys who are rated really high as defensive tackles or rushers, or if you began to compare the rating of the running back to the tackle, it'd be a similar scenario as the Calvin Ridley deal, right? When we looked up, Calvin Ridley was the 16th rated guy on the board, and here you are at 25 drafted in the draft, and you're thinking about taking Taven Bryan, the defensive tackle, and Calvin Ridley's the 16th rated. You got to take Calvin, right? So I don't think that would happen, and obviously I have a lot of respect for those guys that you mentioned, those running backs that are still on the board. I'm just not sure there's a guy there that you say, wow, that's a difference-making dude. When we get him, that changes who we are. I don't think that guy is out there.
It's a Dave Archer with the Skaz. You hear him and Wes Druham, obviously last night, great job. And you'll hear the call when we get back to football right here on the home of the Falcons, 92.9 The Game. Arch, it's been a dream of mine that we solidify the offensive line. What about Lloyd Cushenberry? Right. You could get a guard that could play this year and then become the heir apparent to Alex Mack, or is that too much of a pipe dream?
No, it makes sense, Mike, because Alex Mack is in the final year of his contract. I just don't like it in the second round. I think there's some needs defensively because I think your offensive line is going to be okay. I'm still excited about the fact that Mack Gono may be playing that left guard position. I know there's going to be some competition there. I love the way he looked against Tampa in the final game of the year when he got a chance to play in the second half. I think he's a big stout guy that might be able to solidify that left guard spot. You like the two young guys coming back on the right side that you burned number one picks on a year ago. But I do like addressing it at some point in the draft. A guy I like, Mike, is Damian Lewis, the big kid out of LSU, and he played right next to Cushenberry. When you watch them, they played a lot of five-man protections because they got so many guys out in the pattern that a lot of those times those guys were singled up front. Damian Lewis is a guy that will not be bull rushed. About 6'2", 6'3", 325 pounds, big offensive guard, played left guard, he plugs in perfectly. I think he's going to be available third, fourth round. This is a nice interior offensive line group that I think is going to be available as you get into that third and fourth round. There's going to be some nice selections that might be available there.
It's going to be interesting. It really is. And Arch, you know, just generally speaking, I don't know how tough this offseason is going to be, but, you know, this is not a normal offseason for these rookies to come in and be acclimated, right? I mean, that's a whole other conversation we can have down the road because we're not normal right now. At some point, the facility will open and, you know, but for example, the Saints, Sean Payton said, I'll see you guys in July. He's not even having an offseason program. It's crazy.
Yeah, I was surprised by that statement. Obviously, he's got a different perspective on things because he's actually had to go through this and he understands what the COVID-19 virus is about, and he had a battle that he was able to win. There's been so many that haven't, but that's where I think Carl, that AJ Terrell is the perfect pick, because when you look at what Brent Venables did with him at Clemson and how that mirrors what you're going to see in the Falcon defense, there's a very nice synergy there between how they played and what they used him, corner blitz, catch, cover three, press man. He's going to have to do all of that in this defense here. He's already done it. So all it is, he's changing his uniform and shifting gears and stepping to the next level. And this kid's played on the highest stages now. And I know he didn't play a great game against LSU. Find me a corner that did play
Nobody
well
did.
Against that LSU
Nobody
team.
Did.
That would be great. But
I agree with you on that.
He played great in the 18 game. He had the interception for a touchdown. That's a pretty good receiver core in Alabama, too.
Hey, Arch, real quick before we cut you loose, big guy, we've been talking a lot about defensive needs and obviously defensive tackle. We're going to see how Fowler can maybe help improve Tack's game. Is weak side linebacker not an issue, or they really do think that Foye Lua can be the man, or it's not that important anymore because you're in nickel so much?
No, I think that linebacker's on the board, Mike, and you might even see him take a linebacker in the second round if there's a highly graded kid standing there. So I think that there's some guys on the board. You talk about a linebacker that can rush the passer. How about Zach Bond out of Wisconsin? He's still on the board, had 12.5 sacks this year for the Badgers. He's a guy that can play outside linebacker and step up on the line of scrimmage on third down. He's still laying there, so he's a guy that you could look at.
Arch, thanks so much for jumping on, man. Great job again last night. That's Dave Archer, our Falcon analyst. Hey, man, and keep the social distancing, all right? We want to get back to this football thing.
Yeah, tell Bo to stop talking about his meat on Twitter, will you? That would be great.
Dude, bro, he's got so many wires and contraptions on that thing. I said it looks like a time bomb.
I got wine to drink. I'm out of here.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.